The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, June 30th through Sunday, July 6th, 2025. The commentary for July was written by Roger Hutchison, an award-winning author, illustrator, and lay ministry leader in the Episcopal Church. Roger is known for his compassionate work with children affected by tragedy and for his openness about his journey with ADHD, anxiety, and depression. He is author of 9 books, and his paintings appear on the covers of the 2025 Forward Day by Day booklets. The commentary for Monday, June 30th begins as follows with a passage from the second book of Timothy, the second letter of Timothy, chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Along with other writers of his time, Paul used athletic imagery to convey his message. Like today's Olympics, athletic competitions were held every 2 years and involved strict preparation and training. People understood the dedication that went into participating in the contests. Having once trained for a half marathon, I can relate to Paul's words about fighting the good fight. I spent over 6 months preparing myself for one event, pushing my body and mind to the new limits. I set a schedule with goals that kept me engaged in the daily training. By using this athletic imagery and language to describe the work of evangelism, teaching, proclamation, and encouragement, Paul emphasizes the work and dedication necessary to spread the gospel. It is not easy. We should go into this work fully prepared, as we would any other endeavor where a crown is on the line, but the reward at the end is unmatched. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of the second letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 7, and this is verses 1 through 8. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message, be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. And that was from the second letter of Timothy. It was chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And the moving forward question for this Monday, June 30th, you may have a training schedule for your physical health, But have you ever considered a training schedule for your spiritual health? What would you include? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, July 1st, that day on which we commemorate Pauli Murray. It begins with a passage from the Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. The message that Philip proclaimed to the people in Samaria serves as an inspiration for us to share the message of hope, love, and salvation with those around us. In my picture book, Sparrow's Prayer, Sparrow faces a day where he struggles to pray, give thanks, and proclaim the good news. However, through his interactions with friends, Sparrow discovers that prayer and proclamation can be conveyed through acts of kindness, artistic expression, dancing, and living life as a prayer of gratitude. Our actions and words possess the potential to profoundly impact the people we encounter daily. By sharing the message of the Messiah with our actions and words, with our whole lives, we can bring hope and inspiration to others, just as Philip did in Samaria. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. That day, a severe persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria. Devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church by entering house after house, dragging off both men and women. He committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went from place to place, proclaiming the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. The crowds with one accord listened eagerly to what was said by Philip, hearing and seeing the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud shrieks, came out of many who were possessed, and many others who were paralyzed or lame were cured. So there was great joy in that city. Now a certain man named Simon had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he was someone great. All of them, from the least to the greatest, listened to him eagerly, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they listened eagerly to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip, who was proclaiming the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed. After being baptized, he stayed constantly with Philip and was amazed when he saw the signs and great miracles that took place. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, the first day of July, how can we incorporate acts of kindness, artistic expression, and gratitude into our daily lives to share messages of Jesus' love with those around us? The commentary for Wednesday, July 2nd, begins with a passage from Psalm 119, verse 169. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Although I can relate to the urgency of the psalmist who expresses a deep yearning for a close connection with the divine, I think the idea of being separate from God is a misconception. God is never truly separate from us, and this brings me comfort. Sometimes we look for God but don't see that God is already with us. As a Christian educator, I recognize the significance of being part of a community that engages with God despite the chaos and disconnection that swirls around us. Through study, worship, and personal interaction, I gain valuable insights, new perspectives, and the support I need to strengthen my spiritual well-being. Being in community matters. It also takes work. Being surrounded by individuals committed to their spiritual growth creates an environment where I can freely exchange ideas, explore shared experiences, and continuously learn. It is worth the effort. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 119, verses 169 through 176. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your promise. My lips will pour forth praise because you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your promise, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let me live that I may praise you, and let your ordinances help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek out your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. And the moving forward question for this day, how do you navigate feelings of disconnection from God and seek to foster a deeper connection with others? The commentary for Thursday, July 3rd, begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 36 through 38. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. I have a few memories like fading snapshots of my baptism at my childhood Southern Baptist church. I remember that it took place in a pool built into the wall, painted with a pastoral scene. I remember wearing a white robe that clung against my body when I was submerged in the water. It made me want to disappear. My baptism also took place around the time my parents' marriage was falling apart, so I'm sure that colored some of my memories. But something must have stuck, because here I am in my 35th year of working as a lay leader in the Episcopal Church, and I love baptism. I find such a joy in seeing both babies and adults welcomed into a community of faith. I celebrate with adults who are now ready to be baptized, and the poetry of the baptismal covenant carries me. "What is to prevent me from being baptized?" asked the eunuch. The answer is simple and profound. Philip and the eunuch go down to the water, and Philip baptizes him. And now I'm going to read from this full passage of the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop. And both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, what memories does baptism evoke for you? Now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, July 4th. Of course, it is Independence Day in the United States, and this begins with a passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 13b and 14. "They confess that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland." Seeking a homeland certainly resonates with me, especially as we mark Independence Day in a country where so many of us are not free or do not feel at home. Throughout my life, I've experienced the transient nature of home. By the time I was 17, I had lived in 11 different places across 6 cities and 3 states. On average, I spent only 6.5 months in each place, less than 3 years in each town, and less than 6 years in each state. This constant movement has led me to ponder the meaning of home. Is it where we eat and sleep, or is it more about our family connections? For many of us, family doesn't always equate to feeling at home. I have come to believe that we can find home within ourselves with God's help. In our daily lives, we encounter anxiety, fear, hurt, and brokenness. But when we know we are beloved children of God, we can embrace our true selves, flaws and all, and offer a sincere welcome home to ourselves when we look in the mirror. And now I'm going to read this full passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 8 through 16. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confess that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them." And the moving forward question for this Friday is, what is your concept of home? The commentary for Saturday, July 5th begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 18a. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. I spend much of my life moving through the world, doing lots of looking and not much seeing. It wasn't until I experienced a mental health crisis in 2017 that I learned the distinction between looking and seeing. Looking tends to be a passive, surface-level activity, akin to scanning the environment without truly connecting with it. Seeing is much more engaged in the present. Seeing changes how we navigate our lives. Seeing is a holy act. Understanding the difference profoundly impacted me. I am more conscious of the need to engage with my surroundings on a deeper level and to connect with the world around me. I strive to approach each moment with awareness and mindfulness, seeking to perceive and understand the mysteries that often go unnoticed. In this verse, we read that something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and his sight was restored. Just as God opened Saul's eyes to a new understanding, I am committed to cultivating the art of seeing, allowing it to enrich my experiences and interactions with the world around me. And now I'm going to read from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 10 through 19a. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," he answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name.' So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized. After taking some food, he regained his strength." And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, what scales on your eyes prevent you from seeing? Now, as we near the end of this week and the end of this program, let's turn to Sunday, July 6th, the commentary for the fourth Sunday of Pentecost. It begins with a passage from Psalm 30, verse 12a. "You have turned my wailing into dancing." My onset of depression manifested itself in a struggle to get out of bed. I felt like hiding from everything. But then something unexpected happened. I stumbled upon a YouTube channel that offered yoga classes for pregnant women. Yes, yoga for pregnant women. At the time, I was a 45-ish year old man. I decided to try it, and to my surprise, it made a difference in my life. The gentle yoga routines and exercises helped me stay physically fit and lifted my spirits. The stretches, breathing techniques, and muscle activation exercises gradually brought about a positive change in my body and mind. The feelings of weakness and depression began to fade, and I found myself smiling and laughing more often. I even managed to leave the bed at times. I found newfound inspiration, humor, and most importantly, hope. The practice of yoga, even in its gentlest form, turned out to be holy medicine for my body and my mind and my soul. My sorrow turned into dancing. Well, almost. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me, O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, what helps you with your mental, physical, and spiritual well-being? You might find answers in some surprising places. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let's pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and with other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at your website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.